الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Views of Madani Channel, welcome back once again to another episode of our silsila, our series, entitled, O You Who Believe. In this series, we try to take a look at those verses of the Holy Qur'an in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with the beautiful words, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O You Who Believe. As believers, as those who have faith in the Holy Qur'an, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these verses, along with all of the verses of the Holy Qur'an, have utmost importance for us. Because in these particular verses, Allah Almighty is highlighting the attribute of Iman, the attribute of faith, and calling out to those who have this attribute, calling out to those who have faith with specific instructions and guidance. So as believers, as people of Iman, as people of faith, it's very important for us to realize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in the Holy Quran, those instructions that Allah Azza wa Jal is specifically giving to those who believe. In today's episode, we're continuing from the same topic that was discussed in the previous episode regarding the respect and the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as mentioned in the Holy Quran, and we'll be looking at the same topic in the light of another verse in the Holy Quran, which again begins with the words Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. Before coming on to today's verse and today's topic, as we do, we'll begin by sharing a virtue, a blessing of reciting peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reciting Durood Sharif. It's reported on the authority of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He says that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the closest of people to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who recited the most Durood Sharif, the most peace and blessings upon me. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam. In the previous episode, we learned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares the etiquettes and the adab, the rules of respect for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Holy Quran itself. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such a leader and such a king whose protocol is revealed in the Holy Quran by the creator of the universes, Allah azza wa jalla himself. And today we'll be looking at the very first verse of Surah Al-Hujurat. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah Azza wa Jal opens by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Do not proceed in front of Allah and His Messenger. Do not go ahead of Allah and His Messenger. واتقوا الله, and fear Allah. إن الله سميع عليم. Indeed, Allah is all hearing and all knowing. In the tafsir of this verse, in the commentary of this verse, the scholars write that it's not permissible to proceed in front of Allah and His Messenger, Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not permissible to try to go ahead of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether in statement or in action, due to respect, honor, and reverence for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to the sabab al-nuzul, the reason for the revelation of this ayah, there are different narrations. Some of the scholars, some of the mufassirun, some of the experts in explaining the meanings of the Holy Quran, they said that this verse was revealed on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. On the occasion of Eid al-Adha, some people gave their qurbani early in the morning, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had given his qurbani, the sacrifice that we give during the days of Eid al-Adha. Some people gave the qurbani before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They gave the sacrifice before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given his sacrifice, and this verse was revealed. Allah Almighty says, "O you who believe, do not proceed in front of Allah and His Messenger. Do not try to go ahead of Allah and His Messenger." Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were ordered to repeat their qurbani, to do that sacrifice again, to sacrifice an animal again, and only then would their qurbani, their sacrifice, be valid. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even want anybody to give qurbani before His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given qurbani. Some said, some of the scholars mentioned, regarding the sabab al-nuzul, the reason for the revelation of this ayah, he said that there were some people who, when the month of Ramadan would be approaching, they would fast one day before Ramadan. Rather than beginning their fast on the first of Ramadan, they would fast one extra day before Ramadan, trying to jump ahead, trying to go ahead and proceed. These people were being ordered in this verse of the Quran, when it was revealed, "O you who believe, do not proceed in front of Allah and His Messenger Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not try to go in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fast on the first of Ramadan. Don't try to go ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And whatever the reason for the revelation is, the scholars mention, the Mufassirun, the scholars of Tafsir, they say that the hukam of this verse is aam. The ruling of this verse is general. And it applies to every single situation where anybody might proceed or try to go ahead of the Prophet ﷺ. This has been classified as impermissible and against the etiquettes and the protocol of our beloved Prophet ﷺ in the Holy Quran itself. Allah Almighty is ordering the believers not to do such things. So some examples are given in the tafsir. They say that it's not permissible to walk in front of the Prophet ﷺ. When walking with the beloved Prophet ﷺ, it's not permissible to step ahead of him. It's not permissible to walk in front of him unless somebody does so as a servant or as a guard. He also mentions that when sitting in the company of the Prophet ﷺ, this verse is declaring that it's not permissible to start eating before the Prophet ﷺ has begun to eat. He mentions that it's not permissible in the light of this verse to put somebody's own opinion ahead of the opinion of the Prophet ﷺ. If the Prophet ﷺ decides something or gives an opinion about something, it's not permissible for anybody to put their own opinion ahead of the opinion of the Prophet ﷺ. Here, another very important point to note. The verse is saying, لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Do not go ahead of Allah and His Messenger, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. It doesn't just say, don't go ahead of the Messenger ﷺ. Even though, going ahead of Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ is impossible. Allah Almighty is free from time. Allah Azza wa Jal is not restricted to any time. This verse is teaching us, don't disrespect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't go ahead of him, because disrespect of the beloved of Allah is disrespect of Allah. Allahu Akbar. So here, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions his own name and says, don't go ahead of Allah and the Messenger, to show that even though it's impossible to go ahead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if somebody does go ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be classified as going ahead of Allah azza wa jalla. It will be classified as disrespect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just disrespect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another important point which is mentioned in the commentary of this verse, Imam Ismail Haqqi, in his tafsir, he mentions that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. As our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. The scholars are the heirs or the inheritors of the prophets. So he says that because the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets, the adab that have been mentioned here also apply to the scholars of Islam who are practicing and have the correct beliefs and are on the right path. And he brings in evidence for this. He says that Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that I was walking ahead of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, the greatest of all of the Sahaba, the leader of the Sahaba, the blessed first caliph of Islam. He says that Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says that I was walking ahead of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw me and stopped me and said to me, are you walking in front of that individual? Are you walking in front of that person who is better than you, more virtuous than you, and in fact more virtuous than the whole world? So Imam Ismail Haqqi, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he quotes this account, he quotes this narration, and he says that Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was prevented from walking in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu out of respect for the virtue and out of respect for the knowledge of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because he was older, because he was greater in rank, greater in status, and greater in knowledge, greater in terms of his rank in Islam. Similarly, he says that the true respect, the true adab, the true etiquettes of treating the scholars of Islam, the rightly guided scholars of Islam, the practicing scholars who are of the right beliefs and are on the right path, is that we shouldn't stand in front of them, we shouldn't walk in front of them. We shouldn't speak too loudly when in their presence. He says that when in the presence of the scholars of Islam, if we are eating, we should allow the eldest person, we should allow the person with the most knowledge to begin eating before we begin eating. All of these adab and respects also apply to the scholars of Islam. With regards to this blessed verse of the Quran, Imam Qadi Iyad rahimahullah in Ash-Shifa bi Ta'rif al-Huquq al-Mustafa, he mentions an account of how the Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan, when this verse was revealed, they were so careful not to go ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in case that disrespect might occur. He says that when Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he went from Al-Madinah al-Munawwara to Makkah al-Mukarramah to liaise with the disbelievers there and to have some discussions with them. He says that when he went, he was given permission by the Quraysh, by the disbelievers there, to do tawaf of the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, of the beautiful Kaaba. He says that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was given permission on this occasion. When he had traveled, not in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu is in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He's given permission to perform tawaf. He said, you've come, we've had our discussions. Before you go back, if you want to perform tawaf, it's okay, you can. We give you permission. You can go and perform tawaf. Now, for any Muslim, performing tawaf of the Holy Kaaba, the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, is a great honor. Something that we yearn to do, to go on a blessed journey of Hajj and Umrah, and to perform tawaf, and recite du'as in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, perform the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, by the house of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But look at the love and the respect of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Look at the respect that he had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He declined the permission. He declined the offer to go and perform tawaf of the Holy Kaaba without the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, مَا كُنْتُ لِأَفْعَلَ حَتَّى يَطُوفَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He says, it is not befitting, it is not appropriate for me to go and perform tawaf of the Kaaba before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has performed tawaf of the Kaaba. It's not befitting, it's not appropriate for me, a servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an ummati, a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to go ahead of him, to proceed ahead of him, and go and perform tawaf until he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself comes and performs tawaf, and he performed tawaf behind him in his leadership. Subhanallah. Look how Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu had such love and respect for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look at how he acted upon this blessed verse of the Quran of not proceeding, not going ahead of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way. And when we look at the blessed life of the Sahaba kiram alayhi wa ridwan, we find so many examples of how they fulfilled the etiquettes and the adab of the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned regarding Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he was once, when the companions were traveling, it says that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was sent on a mission. And he was sent with the purpose of fulfilling a task for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this took place after the time of Dhuhr. It says that when he went and came back having fulfilled the task, the Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had performed the Asr Salah. The congregation, the Jama'ah of Asr Salah had finished. But Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had not yet praised Asr Salah. He came and he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had completed the task for which he had been sent. And he says that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his blessed head in the lap of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and began to rest. He closed his blessed eyes. Now Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had not yet performed his Asr Salah. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam and the other Sahaba kiram already had. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is now in a dilemma. The blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting in his lap, and the time of Asr is slowly ticking away. The sun is setting. As the sun is setting and the time of Asr is ticking away, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu makes a decision. And he thinks that if I am to perform my Asr Salah before the sun sets, I would have to disturb the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I am not prepared to cause any disturbance, any discomfort to the rest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way. So he remained in that position until the sun set. When the sun set, the time of Asr had passed. the time for Asr had finished. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had not yet prayed Asr Salah. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan would even perform their Salah in battles, would even perform Salah when wounded, would even perform Salah when they had spears stuck in their bodies. Imagine what would be going through the heart and mind of that Sahabi who has now, for whom the time of Asr Salah has now passed. But look at the mercy, and look at the power, look at the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been given the keys to all of the treasures of the world, the keys to the authorities of the heavens and the earth. The beloved Prophet alayhi sallam opened his blessed eyes, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was upset. When he was asked why he was upset, why he was worried, why he was anxious, he said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I haven't yet performed my Asr Salah, and the sun has set. The time of Asr is finished. I've missed my prayer. Allahu Akbar. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Ali, don't worry. Do you want to perform your Asr Salah as Qada or as Ada? Do you want to perform it now, or do you want to perform it in its own time? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had the desire to perform his Salah within the time of Asr. The beloved Prophet alayhi wa sallam made dua and signaled towards the sky. And with that one signal and that one dua, with that power, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the sun back after it had set. The sun came back up until the time of Asr came back after it had finished. After the time of Maghrib had started, the beloved Prophet alayhi wa sallam caused the sun to come back into the sky to such a height where it was time for Asr again. And now Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu performed his Asr Salah. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu sacrificed the namaz, the salah of Asr, for the rest and the honor and the reverence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Another example, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Ashiqi Akbar, the greatest lover of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on that night of migration, the night of Hijrah, in the cave of Thawr, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, he's traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they reach that cave, the cave of Thawr, the cave where they were to spend that time and to rest together. It says that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he entered the cave before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to ensure that there was nothing harmful, nothing that could cause any harm to the Prophet alayhi wa sallam in the cave. When he went in, he saw that there were many, many holes inside that cave. And he began to rip off pieces of his clothing and fill those holes to ensure that nothing would come out, nothing harm, no harmful animal would come out and cause any disturbance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So he started to fill all the holes, and he filled all of the holes when he ran out of cloth. And there was still one hole left which he hadn't filled. And it says that he placed his blessed foot into that hole. And now he called the Prophet alayhi wa sallam to come in, and the beloved Nabi alayhi wa sallam came in and rested in the lap of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The foot of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was in that final hole. And now it says that there was another Ashiqi Rasul. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not the only Ashiqi Rasul, was not the only lover of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam present in that cave on that night. There was an Ashiqi Rasul snake. A snake who had heard that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pass by this way. And who had been waiting for many, many years for the arrival of the beloved Prophet alayhi wa sallam to gain blessings from him and do ziyarah of him. Now the snake, when the snake realized that finally the time has come, that night has come that I had been waiting for so many years, that finally I can be blessed with the beautiful vision of the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that snake tried to come out. But he found that all of the holes in the cave had been covered by, had been filled in by cloth. And there was only one hole where there was the foot of somebody blocking that hole. Allahu Akbar. So now, that snake came and tried to get out of that hole. And that snake bit the blessed foot of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. Now Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the pain of being bit by that poisonous snake, the poison flowing through his body, the pain shooting through his body, but yet he still did not move his foot. He was ready to sacrifice his life upon the rest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't want to disturb the rest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't disturb the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. He says that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened his blessed eyes, he asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what's wrong? What's happened? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had put my foot in the hole of this cave, and the snake has come and bitten me. This poisonous snake has come and bitten me, and the poison is flowing through my body, and I'm feeling the pain. But I didn't want to disturb your rest. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had done what he had to do. He had made this intention to sacrifice even his life for the rest of the Prophet ﷺ. Such respect, such honor. But look at the miraculous nature of our beloved Prophet ﷺ. Our beloved Nabi ﷺ took some of his blessed saliva and placed it onto the foot of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the foot of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu immediately healed, and there was no pain felt whatsoever. Subhanallah. The miraculous nature of even the blessed saliva of our Prophet ﷺ. But the point to note here is that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu sacrificed his prayer. Prayer which is fard, which is obligatory upon every Muslim, to pray 5 times a day. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was willing to sacrifice even his life. He was willing to sacrifice his life for the rest and the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, protection of one's life is also fard, is also obligatory. So, for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the fard, the obligation of respecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not causing any disturbance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is greater than the fard of salah. For Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, remember these are the Sahaba, the stars of guidance. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who is the most virtuous of all human beings after the prophets, he believed, and he showed through his practical example, that his belief was that the fard of respecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fard of honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this obligation of honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is even greater than the fard, the obligation of protecting one's life. Subhanallah. Which proves that the greatest fard, the greatest obligation in the deen of Islam, greater than prayer, greater than protecting our own life, is protecting the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Not causing any disturbance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, our Imam, our leader, our master, Imam Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ishq Muhabbat, Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatul Rahman. He compiles these two beautiful accounts, and he brings a beautiful conclusion from these glorious accounts of the Sahaba Kiram alayhim ridwan and their beliefs and their sacrifices. He says, Mawla Ali Nevari, tere neend par namaz, aur wo bhi asr sabse jo ala khatar ki hai. He says that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu sacrificed his prayer for the blessed rest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that too asr, which is of the highest importance. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, حَافِذُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاتِ الْوُسْطَى. And protect and preserve your prayers. Protect and preserve all the 5 prayers. And especially protect and preserve the middle prayer, the Asr prayer. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu sacrificed his prayer for the rest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that too Asr, which is of the greatest importance. صدیق بلکہ غار میں جان اس پہ دے چکے اور حصے جان تو جان فروزِ غرر کی ہے. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sacrificed his own life in that cave upon the rest and the comfort and the respect of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And know that protecting your life is also of the greatest obligations of Islam. ثابت ہوا کہ جملہ فرائض فروع ہیں اصل الاصول بندگی استاد جبر کی ہے. This proves that all obligations are peripheral, all obligations are secondary. The essence and the main principle of our deen, the main principal obligation of our religion, according to the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, is reverence, respect, and honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, from this, we learn how the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan would always take care of the respect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are just some occasions, some examples of the respect that they had, and how they would be always ensuring that they would not do anything to cause any harm or any disturbance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And there's so many other examples and other verses of the Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the respect and the etiquette of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Within the verse of the Holy Quran that we talked about today, the verse of the Holy Quran in which Allah azza wa jal in Surah Al-Hujurat, in the very first verse, talks about the respect and the honor of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "O you who believe, do not proceed, do not go ahead of Allah azza wa jalla and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not jump forward, not try to go ahead of them." In this verse, we learned how Allah subhanahu wa taala does not accept any deed that is done hastily, ahead of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learn how the Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan, they understood this verse in such a way that they would not do any good deed before the Prophet alayhi sallam would do it himself. We learn how the Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan understood the etiquettes and the respect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they were willing to sacrifice anything to the extent of even sacrificing their lives for the rest and the comfort of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The views of Madani Channel. It's time for us to reflect upon our lives, to think about how much respect and honor we have for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan were the greatest of generations. The Sahaba kiram were the stars of guidance for us. It's important for us to learn from their example and to reflect upon how when we remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we recite Durood Sharif, when we hear his hadith, when we hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, how do we express love and respect? It's also mentioned regarding the Sahaba alayhi wa ridwan, particularly about Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that when the blessed name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be mentioned, especially in the Adhan, he would kiss his fingers and place the thumbs on his eyes. He would kiss his thumbs and place the thumbs on his eyes. And the beloved Prophet alayhi wa sallam, in some narrations is mentioned to have said that whoever does so as respect, as a sign of respect for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then such a person's eyes will never go bad. Such a person will never be affected by any disease of the eyes. A person, out of love and respect for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed name, who kisses his thumbs and places them on his eyes. Such a person, in one narration it mentions, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed intercession for such a person. Shafa'ah, intercession on the Day of Judgment for such a person. This is just one way that we can implement the respect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. And when we look into the lives of the Salaf, our pious predecessors, the scholars of Islam, there are many accounts which teach us about how they would show that respect, how they would show that etiquette for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah azawajal, in our next silsila, in our next episode, we'll be continuing with the next verse of Surah Al-Hujurat, which also begins with these words, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, all you who believe, in which Allah Almighty teaches us more etiquettes and more adab, the respect of the court of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stay tuned to Madani Channel, keep tuned to this silsila and all the other silsilas, the other series that Madani Channel is bringing to you. Keep attached with the Madani environment of Dawud Islami. Try to travel regularly with the Madani Qafilas of Dawud Islami. And try to attend the weekly Sunnah inspiring Ijtima in your local area. And take others with you as well. If you stay attached to this Madani environment of Dawud Islami, you keep watching Madani Channel, you watch the Madani Muzakaras of Amir Ahl Sunnat, Bamat Barakatum Al-Aliya, you too will learn about the love and respect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the essence of our Iman. You too will be able to implement practically this love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we too can gain completion of our Iman and perfection of our Iman. And so we too can gain closeness to him, and he alayhi salatu wasalam can intercede for us on the Day of Judgment and take us with him into the gardens of paradise. May Allah azza wa jal enlighten our hearts with love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam.